of my trials, I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is the kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver. Make of my troubles quickly to end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me. Over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Thank you. Can I preach now?
Yeah.
I'm good. I'll be honest with you, I don't know how people do it without the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't. Thank the Lord for what He gives us. Amen. Take your Bible to Luke chapter 14. I want to call your attention to three that we read about, three men this morning in Scripture reading. 2,000 years ago, these men had been extended a royal invitation to a banquet. But it's very interesting. I don't know if you caught it or not, but on verse 18 it says, "And they all with one consent began to make excuses." You know, I don't know if they were trying to impress each other and tell people how great they were and how many things they had to do. I know I meet a lot of people like that. Says, "Oh, hey, man, I just bought this, and I got to take care of that," you know, so on. But these men are very interesting because this illustrates a option that everyone gets in life, that God invites us to the great banquet, heaven and banquet halls of heaven. All we have to do is accept and go. And there are a lot of people today making a lot of excuses, and I pray today that this message will remind us I know many of you here today know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. You've confessed that before me. You're very adamant about that. You're very open about it. You know, preacher, I was saved when I was a kid. I was saved when I was a teenager. I was saved when I was an adult. I was saved. You know, and even many of you, I've had the privilege of leading to the Lord. But there may be someone here tonight that still has a hold of an excuse, and I hope today that God will certainly speak to our hearts. Let's pray. Father, I pray, I beg, Holy Spirit of God, that you do a great work now. Help us, Lord, that we look into the Word of God and in such a way that our lives and hearts would be turned completely to you. In Jesus' name, amen. These three men, with all one consent, had an excuse. They didn't even seem like it, didn't even miss a beat. They began to make excuses. And when you listen to these excuses, I'll be honest with you, I question the legitimacy of these excuses. My friend, there's a difference between having a valid excuse and just making an excuse. If you're a school teacher or you work with people, there's always somebody who's got an excuse. Some people have more excuses than others. Some people, after a while, their excuses wear out. And one man said an excuse is like an onion. After first layer of the onion, it's still, you get another one, it's still onion. Amen. And so many times we are not too appreciative of people making excuses. Those that have integrity and those that have character, they'll die to make sure they do something that they promised to do. There's no question about it. They're just going to do it. And then there's others that just, well, I ran out of time. Well, all of us have 24 hours a day. Every one of us. There's not a person in this world that doesn't have, you don't get any more than 24 hours. But how we use it and how we abuse it is life. And it's kind of like the guy that told his wife he's going out to clean the garage. And he gets out there and starts moving stuff around, cleaning, putting things up. And all of a sudden he finds this thing that he laid on the side of the bench and he's always going to fix it. So that time he stops and he starts working on it and has to go over to North 40 or to Ace Hardware or to Polson's or something. Yeah, not Polson's, what do they call it now? I can't even remember what they call it now. But anyway, Pro Build, they changed their name now to something else. But anyway, you go over there, you get stuff, come back, and all of a sudden you look at it, it's time for supper. And you look at your garage and say, well, I have to get that some other time. Amen? We all run into that stuff. Character is that I'm going to get it done. I'm going to get it done. I don't care how late it takes me. I'm going to get it done. This thing's going to get done before I lay my head on the pillow. That's character. And I know a lot of you men are like that. A lot of you ladies are like that. And I thank God for you. But there are some people that are always making excuses, and they never can get anything done. You can't expect them to do it. You have to inspect. You got to make sure that they've done it. I'm sure Bob, with many employees that he has, I'm sure that there are some people that if they tell you they're going to do it, you know it's going to get done. Without question, you only have to look at it. And there's other people that you have to call them. You got to text them. You got to, you know, write notes to them and everything. And I know that most of you women are understanding this right now. All right. The first one said that he had just bought a piece of ground and he wanted to see it. Now, I don't know about you, but that certainly does not sound like a good excuse. Who would buy a piece of ground without even looking at it? It's supper time. He hadn't made a partial bargain. He bought it. No doubt that he wasn't afraid of somebody stepping in and buying it out from under him. Hey, you can look at it tomorrow. Let's go. Let's have a party. Let's go to the banquet. What royal? You're going to miss out on all this wonderful thing, but it's all you're going to be stewing about. Well, I better go look at the property I bought. You would think that if he was a real man in integrity, he had gone over every inch of that acre, around it, and across it, and looked at it, see what's that, what it is. I don't know if you've ever bought any property. Maybe some of you just bought a new house. And I tell you, you didn't say, well, we'll just pay for it. No, you didn't. You went in, you looked at it, you made sure this or that, and you got an inspector to come in, and he's got trained eyes. He may see some things that you didn't even see. This guy said, well, I just bought a piece of property, and I got to go look at it. To that excuse, amen. He had plenty of time. I'm assuming that this is not this banquet was not in his agenda, and he wanted to have some excuse. The second man said that he had bought 5 yoke of oxen and needed to prove them. Well, let me tell you something. At supper time, you don't take your oxen out of their stalls and put them on the plow. You don't do that. Now, most of it, how many have ever worked with oxen? When I was a little boy, they told me about a doctor that was he had a car which was very interesting back in the 40s, and he had a car and he got stuck going down trying to deliver a baby, and so he stopped at a farm place, the Andrigs, and he said to them, he said, "Hey, you got a tractor, pull him out." He says, "No, but I got a little calf." And he went in his barn and harnessed up this great big oxen, came out and pulled his old car out of the way. Amen. You have to be very careful with your animals. You have to feed them. They got to have rest, or they wear out, or they get hurt, or something. So they're kind of like an athlete. You got to be very careful with them, you know. And a lot of us don't understand anymore. We're all of us now. We just put the key in and fire it up and burn out, you know. We're gone, you know. But back in those days, the oxen, they were very careful about buying oxen, because not only did they buy the oxen for to work, but they also bought for offspring. And they were very careful, made sure they didn't have a limp, made sure that there wasn't something wrong with that animal. Here he says, I say, are you crazy? Are you kidding me? You say that you bought five pair of oxen, that 10 oxen. For you great computer-like, mathematically informed people out there, at 10 animals, 10 great big oxen. And he said, "Well, I bought them. Now I'm gonna take them out of the stall and prove them." You are a liar. You don't do that with an animal. Major purchase. Third man, excuse, he said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." I met some wives like that. Joe Mark and I were talking about this. I told the Sunday school that Joe Mark and I were talking about that. He said, "Hey, Brother Sharon, what are you preaching on Sunday?" I said, "I'm preaching on excuses." He said, and he gave me a scripture. I said, "No, I'm going to use the one over in Luke chapter 14. He said, "Yeah." I said, "How about that guy? He said he wouldn't take his wife out to eat. Are you kidding me?" He said, "This man just got married. He just took a wife. Why in the world wouldn't he want to go get something good to eat?" And then he proceeds to tell me about his wife, Betty. He says, "You know, when Betty and I first got married, first time she made chicken. My soul," he said, "it was like eating Goodyear rubber tire." Amen. And he, laugh. My wife and I first married, and her friend, Patty, had given her a recipe for some kind of noodles and chicken and all that kind of stuff. And so my wife is a good little wife. She was. She made us chicken noodle casserole. And her younger sister, Debbie, happened to be there. And so we sat down and dug into that tuna noodle casserole. She didn't know that you're supposed to boil the noodle first. And we call it bubblegum casserole. To that, my wife was not too impressed, but we got a big laugh out of it. She talked to Patty later and said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, But you know, here's a guy that said, "Hey, I cannot come. I've taken a wife." I haven't met too many girls who wouldn't like to go out to eat at a royal banquet. Can you imagine today, Donald Trump calls you up and says, "Hey, we're going to have a banquet at the White House. Would you come?" You'd say, "Of course I would. I don't care if you're..." I was going to say Democrat, but that's not very nice. But anyway, you would go. If President Obama would have invited me and my wife to dinner, I would have went. I would have. Hopefully I got a chance to win him to Jesus. Amen. I would have got a chance. I would have tried everything I could to talk to him. Would have. I hope he's saved. I pray God he's saved. I pray that God he'll come to Christ. But when you're offered to go to a royal banquet, you don't say, "Hey, I just bought some ground sign. Hey, I just bought five pair of oxen, and I just took a wife." No, you say, "Man, baby, listen. Well, we get to go to the point out. Woo! Oh, come on, you would do. Don't look at me like that. You're probably choking their chicken, but anyway." It's an amazing thing that here's a man who is invited to a royal. I'm just trying to say that here's three men who at one consent started making an excuse and said, "Hey, you know what? We find that today with people when we tell them about Jesus Christ, the greatest banquet I've ever known in mankind. And people don't even want to go. I have no doubt that there are hundreds of men who, if they put a little thought to it, they could make up some better excuses than these men who bought a property, who brought five oxen, yoke of oxen, and just married a wife. Someday, our own excuses can destroy us. A lot of people make a lot of excuses. One of the popular excuses we face today is about this old book. They don't believe this book. They don't believe that God said that every word is inspired in this book. They don't believe it. Because there are so many things in the old book that I can't understand, they say. Well, I want to say in the first place, you don't know anything about it. There are very few men that have ever read the Bible through. Have you ever seen somebody who said, "Well, I don't believe the Bible." And you say, "Have you read it?" And they said, "I haven't read it." Well, how can you not believe something you haven't read in the first place? D.L. Moody said, "Of all the skeptics I have seen, I have never seen but one who claimed he's read through the Bible, and I doubted it because the only verse he remembered was Jesus wept." Do you know the very easy for a man to talk about things that they don't know anything about? I was watching Andy Griffith the other day. That's where I get my wisdom from, amen. No, Barney. What's the little guy's name? Opie. He said, "Paul, what's the Emancipation Proclamation?" Oh, yeah, Proclamation of Emancipation or something, whatever. And Barney's sitting right next to him. He's sitting in coffee, you know. The sheriff says, "Barney, tell him. You know everything." And old Barney, he's choking on his coffee and spills coffee on his... "Well, you know what it is." "No, tell me, what is it?" "Well, it's Emancipate, you know." And he, oh my goodness. He went on for about 5 minutes, and I'm going like, okay, let's fast forward this thing, you know. Almost as bad as Duck Dynasty, but anyway. I can just take so much of that stuff. I mean, it is, you know. But I can hang on to Andy pretty good. But anyway, he was trying to explain everything about anything. He had no idea what the Emancipation Proclamation was. He didn't know that they were, you know, giving freedom to the slaves. I just thought I'd answer that for some of you who are kind of wondering what I was talking about. But anyway. And so, if you don't like the Bible, it's because it condemns your sin. Somebody said that Jefferson, President Jefferson, wrote his own Bible. He took a penknife out and cut everything out of the Bible he didn't like. He had a real small Bible. If you see men talking against the Bible, it's because they got hit by the Bible. They don't like what it says. Why do people want to be evolutionists? Because if I'm an evolutionist, I do not have to obey anybody except me. I don't have to give an account of what I've done. But in the world, in this world, God said, you will give an account for yourself, whether you've done good or you've done bad. And the Bible says that I'm to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. I'm supposed to love Him. And so evolutionist, he has no one to point to. No wonder our kids are going crazy in this world. They don't have to keep the laws. They believe the laws are just a bunch are there for other people. And they're above the law. They can well, I'm not going to go into that because then that'd really get me wild. One man said, when you throw a stone in a pack of dogs, the dog that gets hit is the one that's yelping and running away, amen. And when you read this Word of God and you see where the Bible sees where it shows that you are wrong, and the Bible says you need to repent and turn from your wicked ways, and you're unwilling to do it, of course you're going to say you didn't believe it, but deep down inside, most people have that little haunting feeling, you know, this Bible is right. It is right. That's why the Bible says that we're to quote scriptures. Anytime we talk to people, don't talk to them and use your, Paul the Apostle says, I'm not going to use these big words. I'm just going to quote scripture to you. So when you're talking to people about Jesus, quote them the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah, I heard that a million times. Well, how about a million and one? How about a million and two? There are fellows that will say, I don't know if I'm one of the elect. I don't know if you run into that very much. There's people that don't believe that they're going to get saved because they're elect. You know, I was interested. I was reading some scriptures and going into commentaries, and I got one of D.L. Moody's, and he says, if I am elect to be saved, I will be saved, and if I am not, I won't. I have nothing to do with it. Nor do you have any more to do with it than the doctrine of election than the government of China, he said. That's what he says. Hey, you won't have any other to do with it. He said, it has nothing to do with you. There is not one line of scripture about the election that was penned to the unbeliever. The only word for the unbeliever is whosoever. Jesus said, I would that none should perish, but all would. Well, God, if Jesus said if he didn't want none perish, then why would he only say there are just a few elect? But he does say in Ephesians there, it talks about the election, it talks about how that we are elect. Well, of course. I like what Charles Haddon Spurgeon put on his door when he walked in the door. It said, when he walked in the door of his church, it said, for whosoever will. And then when you walked out, it said the elect, you know. So, you know, we do not have the luxury of saying, well, I'm elected or I'm not elected. Well, you don't know that. You have no idea of that. That's not right. That is not biblical. Biblical is for whosoever shall believe on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it. That's our word for God. He would not that any would perish. Why don't you carry the same argument in the temple thing? She said, well, I'm not elect. Well, how about this? Tomorrow you go into business, and if God has decreed you succeed in business, if you will, you won't. Go into business, well, if God was going to end it. No, maybe you just stinking too lazy, didn't get up in the morning. Maybe you spent money that was supposed to go back into the shop. And I had a guy that bought a big trucking deal, and he hired a man, and the hired man helped him, and he saw the man taking money out of the till. He said, what are you doing? He said, well, I've got to go to lunch. He said, no, you can't take money out of the till. Well, he said, I'm part of the owner. I said, he doesn't know any difference. We got to pay the lights here. We got to pay the people that work here like you. You don't take money out of the till. I know a lot of people never make it very good in the restaurant business because they're always taking money out of the till. Instead of paying for the flour, instead of paying for the sugar, and paying for the salt and the hamburgers and the steaks. Hey, you go into business, it's like a kid that gets married. How many were 19 when you got married? Raise your hand. Yeah, there you go. Okay. My wife was 19. I was teasing with her last night. I said, how in the world did a little 19-year-old girl marry me? I wish I'd married her when I was 17. I knew her. I knew I was going to marry that girl. When my mama said she's the one, I just might as well just got married. And man, I wasted 2 good years. Amen. Well, anyway, a young person gets married. And they see their dad and mom with their great big TV and their new truck and their car. They see their dad with all of his weapons. Amen. You know, lots of ammunition. See him with his motorcycle, his four-wheeler, and they're going, yeah, that's what I'm married, that's what I'm getting. No. You know, I was almost 60 years old before I bought my first motorcycle. I mean, big motorcycle. Well, I'm big. I got to ride a big one. I blow the tires out of them little ones. But anyway. My wife and I didn't have a brand new washer and dryer until a family in our church bought us one. We never had one. I'd always go buy used ones. I'd see them at a moving sale. Buy it. $25 beats $1,000. Old grandma and grandpa, they have watched their pennies, didn't spend on this, careful about this, and now they can get this. Amen? You stupid young kids, are you crazy? You can't have everything right now. It takes a time to accumulate it. And wait till you're about married 25 years and then go look at all the junk you've accumulated. And then you have a garage sale and give it away to other people. And they bring it home. They don't know what to do with it. That's why people get in trouble. They go into business and they're not careful about the money. I'm sure you see it a lot at your bank. They're not careful about the money and all of a sudden they foreclose. Why'd you foreclose? Well, we didn't have any money. Well, it looked like you were doing pretty good. You had a lot of, yeah, but we spent it. What'd you spend? Well, we got a new home. We got this, No. He said, well, it was his election that I'd lose all my money and lose all my house. No, it's because you're stupid. You didn't save. You didn't put some away. I try to keep some away. Because I found out that rainy days come. And 2 weeks ago, my car had a little problem. And the city Chevrolet said, we'll fix it for almost $900. I said, okay. I've been saving pennies and dimes and quarters and nickels. I had $600 in pennies, nickels, and quarters. Glory to God!
Amen.
At Montana Federal, you can go in there for free. You just pour it in and just... I had bullets come out of that thing. I had all kinds of stuff. Where did they come from, you know? I took that, and I always, in my billfold, keep a little bit tucked away, because you never know what's something going to happen, right? So I pulled that out of there. And then I had another place. I had a couple $100 that I've been saving, because I knew that something might go wrong. And then my new pickup, they wanted $300 and some to fix that. And I'm going like, oh, my. And then I had the tithe. And I said to God, I said, this is by faith and you know it. And I gave that tithe. I'm still here. I don't got any pennies left. Or quarters. But it's paid. I'll tell you what happened to a young kid. This is what's going to happen to him, all right? He's going to have that trouble, and all of a sudden his car sits on the road. He has no way to get back and forth to work. Now he's compounded his problem. Then he has to borrow some money, and he borrows some money from somebody, and now he can't pay it back. So now he is a enemy of that guy who borrowed him that money, and now he's in trouble. Now he doesn't even want to come around that older guy that he had borrowed money for. He won't even talk to him anymore. So it's a good thing. Every time you get a check, take a little bit of money out, put it in your savings, or put it in some place that your wife doesn't know where it's at, or your husband doesn't know where it's at. Ain't that right, ladies? I said one time to my wife, I said, honey, we're about out of money. Oh, she said, I got some. Hey, where'd you keep it? I ain't telling you. That's good. I'm just saying, there are people making excuses even to get saved because they say, well, I'm not sure. Well, it's because you're not believe the Bible. The Bible said, for whosoever. Dale Moody wrote on this election, he says, I don't know that I am right in my theory, but I can imagine when Jesus Christ appeared to John in the Isle of Patmos, that's in Revelation, you know, the Spirit of the Lord's Day, he said, John, I want you to write some messages to the churches. And he went on to write them, and then he said, behold, when you seal up that book, put an invitation so broad that the whole world may know and feel that they're invited. This is what he said. This is what God told John. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that hearest say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I'm telling you what, that blows election right out of the water. Anybody can get saved if they want to get saved. Brother Joe did say last time, when the Holy Spirit comes and speaks to your heart and you reject it, you keep that up. That's a pretty scary place to be. Number three, there's another excuse. I don't want to put on those long faces that they have down at the Baptist church. I don't want to always have to look right. I don't always want to have to look straight up. I just don't want to look like a Christian. What's wrong with looking at a Christian? You're looking at one of the happiest guys in the world. I mean, I look at myself in the mirror, I just laugh. It's the funniest thing you ever did see. I look in my mirror this morning. I was shaving away. And I said, who are you, old man? What's this deal with that funny thing down in your neck? What's these crow marks up here? Where's the black hair gone? And I laughed at myself. I slicked my hair back. Shake the hand that's shaking the world. Life is good. I don't understand. Somebody says, how's it feel to be 70? I don't know. I feel like I'm 25. The other day they had that meeting going on here. They didn't have a key to get in. The guy hadn't got back yet. So I ran over here, ran up the stairs, grabbed the key, ran back. I'm like the football player. Grab the oxygen. No, I'm fine. I'm just telling you that there are some people that think that Christianity, and by the way, some of you rascals are making people think that that's the way Christianity is. You're as grouchy as they come. You're as cantankerous. You don't have a smile on your face. You look like your best, you know, you don't have any friends. Your best hunting dog died on you. You're just ornery. Boy, I read something the other day. The older you get, the ornery you get. Bless God, I said, dear God, don't you let me be ornery. Now, bless God, you trample on my word of God. You just don't tread on this. You just met one ugly dude. By the way, if you don't believe that, in the back door there are some CDs that I preached on the New Year Day. You ought to get that. It'll just tell you where I'm at, where I've been. How many have got, anybody get that? Was it true what I said in there? I let it rip, didn't I? You need to get that one. But I'll tell you what, when someone does me wrong, it's not my right to do them back wrong. I'm supposed to be a Christian about it. Somebody did something the other day, and I said, it'll be all right. It's going to be okay. And they just, rah, 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 rah. It's cool. Okay, we're cool about it. And then look and says, you're not upset. I said, why should I be upset? What can I do about it? You have to pick your fight. My fight is the Word of God. Don't mess with this Word of God. Don't you tell me that this Bible, this old King James authorized version for hundreds of years has stood in the pulpit and people said, this is the authorized version. This is authorized used in the local church. Don't you tell me that Bible's wrong. You got a bunch of pinheads, bunch of idiots that are trying to tell you that you need a Bible that's easier to understand. Brother, there is enough in this old King James Bible. I understand. Get me on my knees. Amen. There's always people looking for excuses to get away from God. By the way, I just bought some property. I got to go look at it and I got to check it out. Hey, I just bought five oxen. Five yoke of oxen. That means ten. And I'm going to pull them out of the stall. I'm going to prove them tonight in the dark. I just married me a wife. And I can't go. I can understand that, okay? I got it. But I can't the other. I pray to God that you would never make an excuse to the Lord Jesus Christ. As a Christian, I pray that you would not make an excuse that you would not serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all your strength. You need to give everything you got to the Lord. But if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, there is not an excuse good enough to damn you to hell for eternity. For the worm dieth not. Somebody said, what is a worm? The worm is your soul. Your soul will never die. For the worm dieth not, and your thirst is not quenched. I preached a sermon years ago. It was called, Hell is a Filthy, Dirty, Rotten Place. There's not one drop of water there. You remember the rich man said to Lazarus, "Oh, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down and dip his finger in the tip of water, tip my tongue, for I'm in torment." Just because you made excuses, I don't need it right now. I don't need to be saved right now. It's okay. I can get on with life. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to understand. It's about time we quit making excuses. And Lord, it's about time we have some character. Lord, if there be anyone here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today would be that day that they could say, on the 5th day of February of 2016, God Almighty wrote my name in the book of life in heaven. And if I were to die today, I'm sure I'm going to heaven. Because the Bible says so. And the Bible is true and it will always be forever. Speak now, Lord God. Holy Spirit. Heads about, eyes closed. You're here today. And you say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand at this time? I'm not sure I'm saved. I've never accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I have not made preparation. You know, tomorrow I'm going to get on an airplane, but a month ago I made preparations. I called the airlines and I said, I need a ticket to go from Great Falls to Seattle, Seattle to Portland. And I have a confirmation number. And all I have to do tomorrow morning is go down to the airport and say, I'm sure. Sheldon Shear said, okay, Dr. Shear, here's your ticket. Simple as that. But tomorrow, I don't care how bad I want to go to Portland. Tomorrow, if I went there and I said, well, hey, I'm just don't want to go to Portland. They said, you got a ticket? No, man, I don't have a ticket. They'd say, I'm sorry, we can't. You have to pay for a ticket right here, right now. But they'd probably say, I'm sorry, it's full. Have you made your reservation for heaven? Would you do that today by bowing your head and saying a prayer like this: Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here, right now. I'm going to have the pianist play. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. If you're here today and say, Preacher, that's me. I want to make reservation for heaven. I don't know when it's going to be, but I know it's going to be. Today I want to ask Jesus in my heart. You come right now. Come quickly. Say, Preacher, today I want to be saved. I want to be sure I'm on my way to heaven. Won't you come right now? Excuses, excuses, excuses. I'll tell you what. Excuse will not help you. When God says, Depart from me, you work of iniquity, for I never knew you. But Lord, I went to church. It has nothing to do with church. But I knew the pastor. He's a good friend of mine. Doesn't make a difference who your friend is. My mama was a Sunday school teacher. Doesn't make a difference who your mama was. But my daddy was a preacher. Doesn't make a difference. My granddaddy was a preacher. Doesn't make a difference. Have you personally asked Jesus to be your Savior? Your day you say, Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? Your day you say, Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time? Now, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the privilege that we can come and listen to the Word of God. Thank you for these dear people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for their hearts to serve you. Lord, I pray we'd invite folks to come tonight. And Lord, I pray it'd be a blessing and help and encouragement. Help us now as we go to our separate home. Lord, I pray for those who are sick. I pray for Desiree's daddy tonight. Lord, I don't know if he's in heaven or not, but I do pray for her and pray for Kevin and the family. I pray for many who are in trouble and heartaches and sorrows today that really need help. Please, God, help them today. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.